ask. What do you guys think? I mean, the Gemara is very nice, right? It's a very nice, clean sugya here. It's nice when a lot of the discussion comes to the foreground in the Gemara itself. You know, you don't need to get through the Rishonim, though the Gemara does omit some like important things that you wish the Gemara itself would have discussed here. Okay, so let's get started here. Share my screen. I'm very excited for this sugya, I really have to say. Did everybody catch my comment on the chat about the Kilas Yaakov and the way it relates to the back and forth on the Revelation piece about how the push for the Kilas Yaakov? It's very clear that the Pokshea Kimazik thing is supposed to be, in his view, in the broad sense, an interpretation of Chiyuvei Shomrim. Right, so in his view, the breach of Shmira paradigm is a Poshea Kimazik theory in this broad sense. Whereas like the Rambam's narrow view is about just whether we're like looking at this as a din in Bava Kama or a din in Bava Metziah. But conceptually speaking, he thinks that Poshea Kimazik is the same, whether it's the Rambam sense of Poshea Kimazik for Shomer Chinam, or his sense of Poshea Kimazik for even a Shomer Sachar and Gneva Veda. Zachary, that's what we were getting at yesterday, right? Yeah, so I just thought that's like a really nice way of coming full circle to at least my objection to the Rav Lichtenstein taxonomy. All right, so now what we're going to focus on today and in the next Chabura, and possibly one Chabura after that, is the standard of Shmira. What's the standard of Shmira that a Shomer is expected to abide by? What's the standard of care? Now, I'm a little puzzled about the, like you might think that question is answered by the Shia versus Gneva Aveda versus Ones question. No, like isn't Ones versus Gneva Aveda versus Shia trying to pick out standards of Shmira? Or at least on one interpretation of it, right? There's a standard of Shmira that's supposed to protect from Gneva Aveda. There's a standard of Shmira that's supposed to protect from Shias. But I do want to just make explicit, we shouldn't assume that going in here. You might think that there are two separate dinim on the table, right? There's the question of like what events you're chayav for, or given that you're a shomer, what's the standard that you're expected to abide by? And then the separate issue of with respect to what things are you a shomer? Or with respect to what things did you accept Shmira on? I know this is terribly abstract right now, but I just want to flag that distinction because we'll see it arise in the discussions of the Achronim. All right, Evan, you're going to take us through the Gemara on Sadi Gimel. Does that sound good?
Yep.
All right, so get us started here on the Hahu Raya story.
So the first story, jumping up.
A lot of stories.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun stories. So Raya, Davika, Raya, Yuta, Aguda, Dinar, Papa. Davika, Daminayu, Benafel, Amaya. So some shepherd was watching a flock, and one of them falls into the river and dies.
Where was he watching them?
Like on the bank.
Yeah, on the bank of Nahar Papa, right? That's the important part of the story. First of all, who knew that Papa was the name of a river, right? It's a nice little.
That's why he gets all offended later on.
How do you think so? You think that explains their Papa?
Nah.
It's funny. I wonder if the river was like named after a papa or just like common etymology.
I was going to ask that. Like, I didn't know they named rivers after rabbis.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
Right. It's like in the Torah, you know, it talks about Vayavo Marasa, Vayavalo Yachlo Lishtos Mayim Kimarim Haim. And it's like, oh, Alkain Karashma Mar. Like, that's why it's called Mar. But, like, the Torah only tells you that afterwards. First, you get there, like, oh, what a coincidence. It's like, maybe right here. The Gemara talks about, oh, this all happened in Aguda de Nahar Papa. Okay, so the guy's shepherding on the banks of Nahar Papa. An animal falls in, and now there's a suit between the owner of the animal and the roeh, right?
Right. So other coming to Rava Upatre. So Rava was Poter, the shepherd for having to pay. Amar, and his reasoning is, my habe lilamavi, what could the shepherd have done? Natar to Dinatri and she. He watched it as normal people watch it.
Yeah.
Or normal watching.
The one thing I would take issue with, I think maybe it's more precise to say my havale lamevad, like what was he supposed to do rather than like, right, could he have done? Because I think the idea that like, right, yeah, he could have taken greater cautions, but like, what was he supposed to do? You know, he did not dark denatri inchi. He did what everybody else does. Right.
All right.
But that question means something different later on in the Shaka Vataria.
My havale lamevad, you're saying.
Yeah. We use it to ask, like, oh, what was it supposed to do when we say Lavir Nachadachada across the bridge?
Right, right. And you're saying that over here means something different, or?
I agree with your reading here. I just think it's like, it's funny how, it's interesting that question.
Right. Like, what should he have done, right?
Right.
But couldn't it mean that over here also, meaning, my Havalei Lameved, like, what should he have done? He did what he was supposed to, he did what everybody else does. Right?
You just said two different things, though. One is like, one is a rhetorical question, and one is like a literal question.
That's true. Later on, it does seem literal. So we want to keep that in mind as when we compare these two cases.
I thought there the shepherd is saying rhetorically, as in, there's nothing I could have done. And then Rav is responding to him, no, they're actually, he catches him on the question, as in, of course, there's always more you can do.
Right, right. This is a good point. Let's try to compare these two Mahavalo Mevads when we get to that next case. So the Gemara here tells us that the Shomer, the shepherd, is Pater, because he was not der Kidinatri Inchi, right? Which is like a really important phrase. Evan, how do you understand not der Kidinatri Inchi? Just what's your sense of the meaning of that phrase?
Similar to we saw in Yored with Shmo, just sort of like what's the going watching threshold?
What's the standard of care, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just take this Gemara face value, it sounds like a Shomer is just held to the standard of care of Natre Inchi. Now, let me say two things. I think Kimat, all the Rishonim here base think that this is a case of a Shomer Sachar, which I think is reasonable because a shepherd, you might think, is always a shomer sachar, right? A shepherd is a guy who's paid to shepherd. So that's reasonable to say that the default case is a shomer sachar. From the Shaka Vataria later on in the Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara is assuming it's a shomer sachar. So I think that's all fine. The Ritzo is quite explicit about this. So there's a shomer sachar case, and the Gemara is saying, Rabba is saying, if he abides by the standard of Natri Inchi, he's pater, correct? Now, I want to make a few comments on this. First of all, there's a factual question. What does Natar Kedinatri Inchi mean? Like, what's the reference class that Inchi is supposed to be picking out here? Like, who are the relevant Inchi for these purposes, right? I mean, the Gemara doesn't tell us that. So we want to know that. That's like just like a factual question about what's the Gemara saying. But then we also want to know conceptually, what's the legal basis for exempting the shomer in these cases? Okay, so we want to have an eye towards both of those questions. Now, with regard to the factual question about who these inchi are, Evan, do you have a sense of who these inchi are?
So I guess there's two possibilities. Offhand, one could be sort of like general what people would watch on their own stuff. So, like across, if the sample of everyone, what would you do? What's the standard of Shmira for your own things?
Right, right, right. Good, good. So let's say now I think there's a nice diuk supporting that. Anybody want to help Evan to explain why? Like, what's supporting Evan's view there to say that Natra Kidinatri Inchi just means like people with their own stuff?
I think it's clear from the continuation of the Gemara. And I think that the idea of when you actually have, right, when you have the lions coming to it, and the question is, well, how much are you willing to pay to stave them off?
Okay, maybe. But before you get there, Adam, what do you think just of the phrase itself? Do you think there's any diac working for that reading in this phrase, Hanata Kidanachi Inchi?
Because also, I guess, like you said, like the phrase itself, like Inchi.
Yes. Right. People, right? I think that description of Inchi is very, you know, it's like, what do folks do? Not like Hanata Kidanachi Natrim. It's Natri would be the word for Shomrim, right? Or it wasn't like Hanata Kidanachi Roim. It's just Hanata Kidanachi Inchi, which is like, what do people do? Now, I agree, it's a little like that itself. You could say, well, in the context of Roim, the relevant Inchi are the Roim Inchi. But still, like, it's linguistically, like to me, like the word Inchi sounds just like, what do people do? Right, which sounds like a very broad reference class. Gabe's going to give me trouble for this. Gabe, what do you
think? Yeah, I wouldn't have used the, I don't think it's the best thing. I know that Irie makes something similar. I wouldn't have used the verb natar to talk about somebody's own property. Kind of like you, like when you parent your own child, you don't call it babysitting. Or parenting.
Oh. You don't say, I'm on, you know, my kid's on a snow day today, so I'm on babysitting duty. You never heard that?
Yeah, Yeshiva's father say that, but I don't know if it's
right. I think you're saying because they say that because they assume that the wife is like right. It's interesting. There's no like parenting. You're saying it's just like either I'm like doing my thing or I'm babysitting. Interesting. Yeah, so that's an interesting idea. You're saying that the natar thing could assume that it's like a hired or professional. It's interesting. Let's go to the Meiri's Diak for a second. I think the Meiri says this pretty explicitly. This is why the Meiri is so great, because he's really the only, none of the other Rishonim are explicit about this, right? The Meiri just really fleshes this out. So let's see, what does the Meiri say here? Shomer Sachar, blah, blah, blah. Let's get a volunteer to take us. Gabe, you mentioned the Meiri. Why don't you take us through this Meiri here quickly, and then we'll come back to Evan's Gemara.
Outside or inside?
Oh, 1 second. Zolt here on the chat is saying, isn't this also just an expression? But Zolt, the expression here is phrased in terms of Inchi. You don't think that's significant?
I think that's just like the regular phrase. Like, I think they use that no matter what. I don't think it...
But couldn't the regular phrase have been Natar Kidin Natar Natri? Definitely it beats on the alliteration score. Natar Kidanachi Natrim is a little, you know.
More. Sure, but you're also, but like, it could just, like I'm saying, the expression could just apply to just how we protect things in general without necessarily stipulating for each specific item.
Yeah.
And it could be that when it comes to shepherding, the standard is by shepherds and not necessarily owners.
Yeah, I think that's true. I agree. I acknowledge that because, like, the context here is the context of Roim. So, like, who are the relevant Inchi, right? This is like when, people today like to, you know, you talk about like gender, like biases, right? So it's like in the law for a long time, the standard was like, what is the reasonable man? What would the reasonable man say, right? And then people are like, wait a second, the law is formulated as like a reasonable man, but sometimes like reasonable women think like differently about things. So does the law require like the reasonable man, or do they mean like reasonable person, right? That's like the... so you're saying like over here, Zolt, you're saying that like, okay, like it says Inchi, but like the relevant Inchi here is like the like people in the industry, right?
Yeah, I think that's like definitely very plausible reading.
Okay, yeah, I agree that's a plausible reading, though I do think the fact that the Gemara phrases it broadly is significant, right?
I think it's maybe like a kind of like a counter proof to this. The thing is the Ravid's treatment of Inchi. And then the very next line, which says, oh, did he go up? Would he enter the city when people enter the city, when Inchi enter the city? And the Ravid is not sure, what are we talking about? Are we talking about just normal people, or are we talking about shepherds? So
yeah.
In such a case, which is also a very specific action, it's like, oh, when do you enter the city? It's like, I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, good. We're going to look at that Ravid in a second in the Shita. Good.
Point being, Inchi can go either way, Quentin.
Correct. Gabe, why don't you take us through this Meiri here quickly, the first part. You don't have to get into the second part. Shomer Sachar. Yes.
So the first part, the Meiri's reading of Rabbah is that Yisgar Kedachshar Open Adam Shomer Neshalahem. So he understands Inche to mean the Bailim, the way a normal owner would protect their or watch over their property.
Exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
No, if
Yeah, so this is the important part, right? Dayo, whatever, shigishmar, shirobin adam, shomrim eshalahem. Those words of eshalahem being the crucial words, right, Gabe? So it's like, if for me, when I have my own car and I, you know, what do I park it on the street, I click the lock button, that's all I do for shmir on my car. So then if I pay yakir to watch over my car while I'm out of town, yakir is just held to the same standard, right? You just got to park it on the street, hit the lock button, and he's not there, Kidinatri Inchi. He doesn't have to like put it in a garage or cover it with tarp, right? He's not expected to do those things, right, Gabe?
Yeah, which like fits a broader framework of Shmir that we've seen, that you're sort of a stand-in in place of the Baalim. You're hired to be the Baalim for day.
Yeah, that's interesting. You could just say this is an expectation thing, like, hey, what's the expectation, right? Or what's like the reasonable standard? Reasonable standard is just what people do. But we'll get back to that point. So good. So the Miri is explicit that it's Kedash Rabbi Adam Shom Eshelahem. Now, he quotes the story of Nafla Lemayim Umesa. And let's read this part for us, Gabe. Uba Maisa Lefnei Chachamim. This is the Rabba case.
Uba Maisa Lefnei Chachamim. Vamri Umahi Ala Lasso. Kvar Shamar Kedarech Sherov Bnei Adam Shomrim.
Yeah. Rabbi Adam here in this broad sense, right? Eshelahem, just like whatever he did, what most people do with their stuff. So he's off the hook. Good. Now, that seems very eminent. That is eminently reasonable to my mind. Let's just take a quick look at the Ravid here. Okay. We didn't look at this part of the Gemara, actually. But, well, let's hold off on this rabbit for a second. The other way you could read the Gemara is that the standard that the Shomer is held to is the standard of whatever, like what normal Shomrim do, right? Which would be a little bit of a higher standard for Rabbah, right? Meaning that's a little more intuitive, right? We're saying within the industry, you're held to the industry standard. Whatever that might be.
Is the industry standard higher or lower? Because sometimes like you can give the example of babysitting. Like, I think it's pretty, the standard is that like parents tend to be more protective of their kids than babysitters do.
Right. So, that's pretty interesting. You're saying the industry specific thing could go up or down. I think that's a good point. I agree. I don't have any substantive. I agree with that. Right, it's an open question, which is more chamor or which is more kal. Now, this is about the factual question. What about the legal question? What's like the legal basis for thinking that natri kidinatri inchi paters you? So I want to take a look at that Rashi that we saw last Chabura and then also back at the Meiri. So let's see. So Rashi here says, Rashi here, Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. So Gabe, how do you make sense? What do you think Rashi here is saying? Natri kidinatri inchi? What does he say?
Anything beyond this duty is considered to be onus.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting move that Rashi makes, that the standard of Shmira is just a way of defining what constitutes onus. So anything beyond, so it's like the Torah sets up these categories, Pshia, Gneva, Veda, and Ones. We just define Ones as being anything that happens while you exercise the standard of Natar Kedinatri Inchi. So it's like Ones is defined by the standard of care. Does everybody see that? It's not like there's some objective criteria to assess onus, like, is this preventable? How unforeseeable was it, right? That's not how we define onus according to Rashi. At least in this Rashi, onus just means those things that occur while you are exercising the standard of care of Natri Kedinatri Inchi. Yoni, you should really like this, according to Adam. Adam, why should Yoni really like this?
Did he make this whole point on Tuesday? It should all be relative. The actual standard of care, that by ones over here, we don't necessarily mean like that type of ones, but in terms of like, we don't expect you to spend like all your money to prevent it from happening.
Hey, this is Shua, no? Wasn't Shua?
Oh, yeah, Shua was the money point, but I think Yoni started the earlier point. but like it's not what we mean by illness. I don't know, Yoni.
Isn't this where you started? This is your definition of Pshia. Pshia is non-fulfillment of the duties and anything beyond that is illness.
Exactly. And you have the second Rashi here, which is helpful. Rashi, later on in the
Gemara. Is there any other way to read this Gemara, though? Isn't this like every single person has to agree that clearly the reason he's Pater is because he's no longer, because he's defined as Ones?
Let's see. Hold off one second. This is what Yakir, I think, was pushing a few Chaburas ago, right? Like, what's the non-Rashi way of reading this? Right? So let's see. This Rashi, when he talks about the Amoraim who disagree with Rabbah, what does he say? Gabe, you wanna? Gabe?
I focused on the one below what you bolded. This Rashi says, the one below you bolded, so let me follow your order. So Rashi says,
well, the one below I bolded is the other day. That's like the Amoraim who disagree with Rabbah.
Here,
he's explaining Rabba's view.
So he says,
yeah. So again, so how do you understand that, Gabe?
Beyond the duty of Shmira Kedinatre Inche is considered the onus, and that is the reason for which he's put.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Rashi Lashitaso here, that at least within Shitas Rabba, the definition of ones is the things that occur while the standard of care is abided by, right? Is upheld. Okay. Now, just to make this point a little crisper, so the legal basis, our second question here is, what's the legal basis for Natri Kid Natri Inchi? Rashi tells us that the legal basis is a Ptur Anus. But that's the Rashi's move here. Why is Natar Kedinatri Inchi a reason to pater you? Because now anything beyond that is deemed to be an onus. The Meiri, I think, has a nice formulation about this also. He doesn't tell us the legal mechanism, at least I don't think so. Well, he does. He says, Shomer Sachar, Dayo Le'inyan Ptur Onsin, So is that a way of saying that Natar Kedinatri Inchi triggers the Ptur Ones? I think so. Right? Is that your, Evan, that's what you think?
I mean, it's interesting that he like says it so backhandedly, and it's like, could have just said what Rashi said, but yeah, it seems to be saying the same thing.
Yeah. It does sound that way. But what's and he says, B'chol she'iru ones b'shmira kazu, afal pi she'haya efshar lo lishmar b'derach she'lo haya ha'ones ba. You know, so he's just very clear about the gap between two different ways of defining ones. He's saying one way of thinking about ones is that, hey, you abided by the standard of care, and now everything's an ones. Now everything is an ones. The other way you could think of it is like, well, are there measures that you could have taken to prevent it, right? And that there's a very clear gap between those two different conceptions of onus, right? He's saying for Rabbah, even if there are clear measures that you could have taken to prevent it from happening, if you were within the standard of care, it's considered to be an onus and you're off the hook. Gabe?
Yeah, that's just the other reading of my Havalei Lemevad, which is why I pointed out those two different meanings. Like, one is my Havalei Lemevad, he did the standard of care. The other is my Havalei Lemevad, there's much more that he could have done in order to protect himself.
Yes, that's right. But for these Rishonim, it seems very clear that they're assuming, like, my Havalei Lemevad, like, he wasn't obligated or right, required to do more once he is within the standard of care. Okay, good. Excellent. So now let's go on in the Gemara. So a lot of Amoraim are upset with Rabbah. We have Abaye throwing all these challenges. We have Rav Chisda and Rabbah Bar Rav Huna. And then we have Rav Papa in this last case in the Gemara who seems to disagree with Rabbah. So sounds like everybody's piling on Rabbah to disagree with him. So let's take, Evan, just take us through those shitos here, okay, because the cases are important. So Amar Le Abaye.
So Amar Le Abaye, El Meata Al Lamasa Be Inna Da Ale Inshi Hakinam Yizapater. So according to your reasoning, if the shepherd would go into the city, like at the time of other people, would he too be putter? Apparently just that was a thing that was done, like take a lunch break, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like all the shepherds would, you know, bring their flock and then they would all go in to get Golan for lunch, leave the flock unattended. Okay. And like, that was just normal, right? That's like, that was done apparently. Now, let me just say Abaye's objections. So Abaye objects. Abaye is like, wait, you're saying that if he abides by like the standard of care, which seems to be really low, he could be off the hook. Like he could leave the stuff unattended and like not be liable. So Abaye is like very worked up by this, right? Now, is Abaye basically saying that custom or, you know, what people do should never be the metric for determining the Torah's conception of onus, right? It's like these guys take a lunch break, they leave the stuff unattended, and Rava, you're saying that's a reason liftor? And like, so Abaye is moving to some sort of objective standard of onus. He doesn't like the subjectivity in Rava. Is that what you think is going on here? Like, what do you think is motivating Abaye's, like, Elameata, Olamasa, you know, like, why is this such a good objection? So let me just say that, so one way of understanding Abaye's objections are, like, this objective versus subjective standards, right? Kind of as Dioni said, like, maybe the Minhag HaShomrim is really low. So, like, why should that be the Torah's standard, right? If you live in a society where Shomrim are lazy. The other way of understanding Abaye's objection, so you might say that Abaye like concedes the point that the norm in the industry should be controlling, but he's reading Natri Kedinatri Inchi as referring to non-Shomrim. You see, the intuitive objection is very strong if Rabba's standard is what's the non-expert standard? That's the standard for the expert. So my point is that if Natri Kedinatri Inchi is as Zolti was suggesting, that it's what's the standard amongst all Shomrei Sachar, then Abaye's objection is, that's crazy. We can have a subjective standard. Even within the industry, we want to move to like an objective standard, you know, of onus that the Torah is going to stipulate. If Natri Kedinatri Inchi is the Mishel Masha Osim Bailim Bishel Lahem, then Abaye's objection could just be like, hey, like, why should the lay standard govern the experts? Does everybody see that? So Abaye's objections might, like, what exactly he's getting at might turn on what Rava's getting at with Natri Kedinatri Inchi. Evan, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, just another possibility as to like what's the underlying thing that Abaye is saying, and we'll see this from like the rest of the cases, is that it's times where you're just suspending your actual Maisa Shmira.
Like, yeah.
You're not working anymore. So yeah, I think there's some interplay with, yeah, there's some standard Shmira that Rav was talking about, but even if that standard is to take breaks, a Shomer is not allowed to just stop doing Shmira if that's what he's hired to do.
Okay, good. So I wanna actually bracket that comment for now. It's a very good comment. Let me just say something very quickly about that point. See, I think this is a bit of a trick almost. I don't love when the Rishonim do it here. You see the Rishonim inject this discussion of, well, maybe there are some things for which he's not deemed to be a Shomer. You might see that in the Ritva. You can see the Ritva here says, we'll talk about what motivates him to say this, that Kivan de Be'inna de Ganu o Ailu Inji Eno Nasa all of Shomer. Below Kibel all of Shmira Liba de Rabba. Now, I think that's who was it? Zolti, did you ask what's the other way to read the Gemara? other than like Rashi way?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Rashi way of reading the Gemara of Rabbah is that anything above the standard of care is ones. Correct? I think what the Ritz is getting at here is he doesn't want to say that anything above the standard of care is ones, but it's like lo kibel olav shmira le'inyan those things, you know, which is a way of saying we're not even in shomer territory to be chayiv. So it's not that if you abide by the standard of care, these things are considered to be ones. He has this more formal argument, which is, you have no shame shomer with respect to those types of things. So he doesn't have to define ones by the standard of care. He could acknowledge that this is not an ones, but say like when you made your agreement with the employer, you basically said, I'm not a shomer with respect to these types of things. Somebody see that move? So I think that's the alternative way of understanding the Gemara. I think Yakir, this should address, I alluded to this in our last discussion about this. But I think this is like a non-Rashi way of understanding Shitas Rava. Okay, let me take the hands here, and then we'll go on in the Gemara. So we have Zachariah and then Noah.
I have a feeling we might be saying we're going to say similar points, but Noah and I discussed how actually, I'm not sure we read the Ritva the same way. I thought this answer in the Ritva is really only works for the entering the city case. Because it'd be really strange to say that in the, he's shepherding by the banks of the river, he's doing his due diligence, and kind of like the second you do your due diligence as a shomer, you lose shame shomer. Like that seems like a very odd explanation. I don't think the Ritva is stretching to pin this explanation on that case. And then kind of like Hadra Kushil Dufta, I don't see another way to explain the first case of the river in a way other than Rashi.
Ah. So I take it your point is that the Shomer is saying, the way you're reading the Ritva is that in the Ol Be'inna Da'ili Inshi, so it's like I'm a Shomer from 9 to 12, I have a break 12 to 1, and then I'm Shomer again from 1 to 5. It's much harder to say that I'm a Shomer with respect to, shepherding them like across the bridge, but like not like the particular way or like not if it's like, I'm not a shomer with respect to like the onsim that might occur when I'm getting them across the bridge. Is that the idea you're saying?
Yeah, it's also kind of like very strange dynamical system where you're only a shomer when you're failing your job, but once you succeed, you're not a shomer.
Yeah, but I do want to point out that the Rishonim seem to make this move later on. I don't know if you saw like the Rashba is about Ones Gufo and things like that. And like, if you look at those Rishonim, they seem to be saying like you're not a Shomer with respect to Onse Haguf. Like, you know, if you get sick, you're just like everybody knows you're like not a Shomer. Like you don't agree to be a Shomer if you get sick kind of thing. Which is a little more delicate than, you know, the 9 to 12, 1 to 5 paradigm. So we should keep our eyes open for that. It's a good point. Noah, is that the point you were going to make also?
Yeah, basically. I was saying, like, well, to support Zachariah's reading more, it's sort of like the Ritva's, it's in a very particular context in the Ritva where he's trying to figure out, according to Rabbah, what's the difference between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar. And, like, and the difference would only really make sense in terms of, like, blocks of time in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me just preview here just to when you see this later on, you'll have a sense of what they're getting at. The Rishonim worried about these issues that come up in the Stigmar and Membeis, about what exactly the Shomer is expected to do. You could see the Ramban, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Yeah. Here. Yeah. Afshar she'im is the Ramban on Rambez, I think. Afshar she'im toin tainos elu v'nim sushu gundu enim esham tashlume kevel even shu toin en nasti begufi v'lo yacholti lishmar ketoin lo na asesi l'cha shomer l'oso shah she'nigneva. You know, since he had some sort of onus haguf, it's like he's saying, I have no shame, shomer, with respect to what happened at the moment that it was stolen, right? Which is like an interesting, like there's some onus that potters you from shmira, like it makes you no longer a shomer. Now, that's different from the time blocks paradigm. I agree with you that it's not so easy to apply this to the ferrying the animals across the river thing either, right? Because it's a little more localized. But we'll talk about that move. Yeah, good point. Okay, sorry. So let's go. Evan, take us back to Abaye's objections.
So we're up to the second one, right?
Yeah, so just go through the first objection again. Elmayata.
So Elmayata, al la masa bi'ina da'ale inshi hafinami pater. And Amar Leitin. So if you go to, if the shepherd would leave his flock, go into the city, when at the time that the shepherds did that, would it be Potter? And Rabba responds, yes, it would.
I like that Rabba just bites the bullet, right? He's not fazed.
Yeah, it's like, yes.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
Not fazed.
Right, bring it on, right? Yeah, I think he's Potter in that case. Let me just mention over here very quickly the Ravid commenting, well, mention the next case also. Ganaporta, what's the Ganaporta?
So Ganaporta de Ganu Inche. So do you, I think, take a nap at times when people would take a nap? Hafinami de Pater, Amar Leitin. So same idea.
Yeah, same idea. So as long as you're doing exactly, as long as you're doing what's customary, standard of care, you're Pater. Now the Ravid here, quoting the Shidim Kubetzas, says, let's see. Here you could say, let's just take Zachar. You want to take us through this shita here? This because the Ravid's a little puzzled. What is Abaye's objection? So let's just take a quick look at this, and then we'll come back to the Gemara.
Yeah. So quotes Abaye, Amalei Abaye, Elami Anta, Gani Porta Beinna Teganu Inchi, Hachinami De Pater, Amalei In, Kashili La Baye De Afshile. So I have a question on Abaye's question. Meinna Teganu Inchi. Shomer behemos lo ganu. Wait, when people go to sleep, the shomerim don't sleep. Ve'i bashar, maybe meroim, ka'amar, if you're talking about other shepherds, im derech haroim lishan, yo ma'at, v'behemos ro, salidehen, lama lo yeze pater. And if it's talking about, you know, like a shepherd nap in the middle of the day when the animals are just kind of grazing nearby, why shouldn't that be pater? U'ma'atena ikahacha. And what's the question then?
Yeah, so that's really fascinating, that line. The Ravid doesn't think that there's an argument to be made that if not, so he's kind of like, look, let's assume that Natar Kidinatri Inchi applies to other Shomrei Sachar, right? Other paid watchmen. He says, there's no argument that if everyone in the industry does this is the industry norm, that this particular Shomer Sachar could be held liable. So basically that I think that's the Ravid's argument here. If it's talking about Sha'ar Roim, so like other Shomrei Sachar are taking naps, it's impossible to hold this Shomer Sachar to a higher standard. So everybody see that? That's like a really interesting qualification on the back and forth here, because why couldn't you give the objective subjective interpretation of Abaye? Sahar, you want to say something before I?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're reading it that way, I initially read this as kind of saying that just like factually the details of this case, that he's taking like a little siesta right next to the animals and it's the middle of the daytime, is just a totally not dangerous situation at all. He just like thought like just factually, there's no way this is problematic. Having this question, but I'm not sure if that makes any sense, because he is, like, the facts of the case, he is not watching it right now.
Right. So the way I understood this, that he's saying, look, if what's going on here is that all shepherds, like other shepherds also are sleeping now, So im derech haroim lishen bayoma vabehemos roos haideyan, the animals, you know, go by themselves. Lama lo yezeh pater, my tema ikahacha. Then of course you got to be pater. Like, there's no argument to the contrary. Like, but to my mind, of course there's an argument. The argument being, just the Torah doesn't define the onus by industry standards. It's like an objective standard of, you know, could you have prevented it? If the industry is lax, then that just reflects badly on the industry. It's not going to modify the Torah expectation. You see that? So it's just interesting that the Ravid here, at least on my reading, thinks that it's impossible, or it's just inconceivable, that the Torah standard of onus would be different or inconsistent with just like the expectations set by anybody in the industry. I think that's like an interesting, it's almost like a, I would say like it might relate to our Minhag HaSochrim discussion. But like the point is that if everyone's expectation is that you're going to be a Shomer Sachar, and everybody knows what Shomer Sachars do in this village, there's no basis to think that the Torah standard is going to deviate from that. The Torah standard ones. Anybody have thoughts on this? I think it's a really interesting just assumption here that the Ravid makes, because a priori, I could have heard an argument to say like, yeah, just the definition of onus is how objectively unpreventable was it? Like the Rambam said, like, ein lo tachbula limona. I think that was the Rambam, right? There's like no stratagem that you could have undertaken to prevent it. Gabe, you have a...
Yeah, I would have thought that this is like, that's when you put it on the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye is the one suggesting that we should have a higher standard.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, right? So like the Ravid doesn't think, the Ravid's whole point here is that it can't be that Natre Kedinatri Inchi is picking out other Shomrei Sachar, because then there's no basis for Abaye's objection. So what does the Ravid say instead, Zachariah? So Vigla Meimar?
Vigla Meimar, da filu rov haroim min hagam lasos kav, mikol makom chayav Shomer Sachar. So even if most of the shepherds do have this practice, nevertheless, the Shomer Sachar will be liable. Im Shomrei Chinam osin kain, Shomer Sachar lo hayav lahen lasos kain, aladas Abaye.
So that's kind of like that's his core move, right? So his move is to say, until now we've been talking about, oh, is this the industry of the Shomer Sachar? Is this the Miri's Anashim Osin B'Shalahem? And it sounds like the Ravid here wants to carve out a middle ground and say, well, maybe the Shomer Chinam industry has this standard, and that's kind of what the Gemara means by all in the Dailoinchi. But the Shomer Sachar industry is held to a higher standard. Right, Zachariah?
I think so.
Meaning the way I understand this is he's saying, granted the Torah is not going to have a conception of onas distinct from derech hashomrei sachar. So like whatever the derech hashomrei sachar is, that's going to be controlling. This case though is a case where the general shomer chinam industry, I guess, has a standard. That's not going to popular shomer sachar. A shomer sachar is going to be held to this higher standard, I guess, assuming there's no clear minhag of what the standard of Shomer Sachar is, the Shomer Sachar is going to be held to like a higher standard of like having to watch it, you know, to prevent anything from occurring.
Is he critiquing the entire industry? Like he's saying all Shomer Sachars should have, like the industry standard of Shomer Sachars is too low because it should be higher than Shomer Chinam? Or is he saying that there really is no Shomer Sachar standard, but whatever any individual Shomer Sachar does, it should be higher than Shomer Chinam.
See, I think he can't be saying the first thing because like his whole argument, right, in the two lines preceding this is Im derech haroam lishen biyom of him azubah, lama lo yiyah pater, my tema ika hacha. So that, unless he's like rejecting that assumption, this assumption seems to say if all Shomrei Sachar do this, then like what's the basis to plather him? And his answer is, oh no, no, like it's the Shomer Chinams who do this. Shomer Sachars ought not do this. Right?
One way to read this, Ravid, is that there's a gap between duties and liabilities. That like his duty is in Echinami to get the Natra Inche, but he's Hayav Hirkei Gneva Veda. That's why it's not called Pshia. It's not him sort of, it's not a non-fulfillment of his duties. Rather, it's a thing of now and the Aver, what is expected to be.
So explain that a little more, Gabe. So tell me how are you reading this?
Well, the category of Gneva Veda is a category where he's saying it's beyond Pshia. So beyond something which we would say is necessarily his fault or a failure to fulfill his duties as a shomer, there's still some kind of liability which the shomer sachar accepts upon himself, which we'll call gneva vavida.
Ah, so it's like the achrayas. As you're saying, it's like an achrayas issue, not a chiyuv shmira issue. But he does say, is that what you're saying, Gabe? But Gabe, he does say, and this is interesting, Im shomrei chinam osin kein, shomrei sachar lo haya lahen lasos kein, which sounds that like they, like the shomer ought not have been all ba'ayla be'idna da'ayliyanchi. So it's not just like you do so at your own risk. It sounds like there is some breach of shmira, no?
Yeah, so I sort of agree with that, but then how do you read ke'in geneva ba'veda and hulashu koshaya?
Meaning, to do so is not negligence. It's just breaching the higher standard of shmira that a shomer sachar is held to. It's like, you know, he's held to a higher standard of shmira.
And that's where the chiyu for Gneva Veda comes in?
Yeah, like a chiyu for Gneva Veda is like a circumlocution for a standard of shmira higher than the industry norm. I think that's...
I'll note that he's using your yeshiva slash Baalbatish definition of Pshia.
My definition of Pshia, right. Exactly. Pshia, just exactly. Correct. He's using that conception of Pshia. That's how I'm reading it. Meaning, Pshia is like the gross negligence, not breach of duty. Right? That's right. Meaning, his Chia for Gneva Veda is a higher duty, higher standard duty. But yes, that's 100% right. It's exactly how I think he's using it here. Let me just say, I think there's another way of reading this. A lot turns on just this phrase. So the way I'm reading it until so far is that even in his answer, the Ravid concedes that the industry standard of Shomrei Sachar would be decisive, right? I mean, he doesn't reject the premise of his question. So the Ravid's basically making an ukimta on the Gemara's case that, oh, it's Shomrei Chinam are all have this custom to get Golan in the middle of their Roed duties. Shomer Sachars don't, and that's why the Shomer Sachar is going to be liable. I think the other way of reading this Ravid is to say Shomer Chinams do that, and it's totally kosher for Shomer Chinams to do that because they have a lower standard of Shmira. But Shomrei Sachar, lo haya lahen lasos kein, meaning let's grant that the industry standard of Shomrei Sachar is to do this, but still like a Shomrei Sachar ought not do it because like the Torah Shomrei Sachar is held to a higher standard than the industry. So the Shomer Chinam and Shomrei Sachar thing here in the Ravid read this way is more about it's permissible for a Shomer Chinam to hold himself to just like a standard of gross Pshia, which we'll define as like the industry norm. But a Torah Shomer Sachar is always held to a higher standard. That's why it's like, so he's basically saying, look, yes, Rov Haroim, Bain Shomrei Sachar, Bain Shomer Chinams do this. Still, the Shomer Sachar is going to be chayav because while a Shomer Chinam could get away with this lower level of just non-Pshia, the Shomer Sachar ought not to, even if it's the industry standard. So everybody see that second? That's like a different way of reading the Ravid, in which case he's rejecting the premise of his question. And he's saying, yes, that's right. Even if it's the Derech HaRoim here, we don't care. Shomer Sachar is held by a different standard. So then there's a lot of there's a conceptual, there's a fundamental move away from the premise of the question that he poses. Everybody clear on the two ways of reading this, Ravid? Okay, so let's take comments on this. So we have the Zolt, then Adam Isaac, and then Noah.
My comment was from a little before, but it was like, I don't think it's what the Ravid says for sure. But I was thinking like another way of approaching the Abaye and Rabba Machloket, in terms of like subjective or subjective standards, could be in terms of thinking in terms of like Kafaldi and first causes versus second. As in it could be that in terms of like your Chiyuv Shmira, there is this higher level of requirement that Abaye requires you to do. Maybe even Rabba concedes that maybe there is some type of higher level of requirement of, you know, first level order duty you have. But in terms of payment, in terms of penalty you're paid, like a second order quality and duty, then Rabba believes that there's no, the standard is going to be lower. You're only going to have a duty to pay if you were, you know, if you did what the industry standard was, if you did less than the industry standard. Industry standard, though, that's going to be sufficient.
That's interesting. So you're saying like the exact opposite of what Gabe was suggesting before. Like Gabe was saying, maybe there's liability in Chiyuv Shmira, and you're saying, well, you can make Chiyuv Shmira without liability, right? That's the...
Yeah, exactly. And then I think that you could argue that there is like a... Maybe there is an ideal to go above the industry standard or... in terms of like a Chiyuv Shmira, but there is no, and maybe that's what the Bai is arguing. But Rabba's response is that may be true, but like in Achanami, when it comes to the second order of Feldian duty, you don't have a duty if you kept like industry standard.
I think it's an interesting point that you're making. Your diak is basically, I think Gemara is talking about liability, Chiyuv. So like Rabba's conceding these points about liability, it's an open question whether there's still like a Maila Lechatchila to be Shomer for the standard.
Yeah, maybe there's even a chiyuv. Maybe there is even like a Torah obligation in the chiyuv.
Yeah, it
doesn't relate to liability.
Yeah, it's a cool suggestion. I think it's an interesting point. And you're right, the Gemara's discussion of chiyuv or pater doesn't really take a clear stance in this, right? It's Gemara's language is achanami de pater, right? So it's all about pater and chiyuv, not necessarily about the duty of shmir. It's interesting. Yeah, good point. Adam?
Yeah, I just think the I take trouble with this heightened level of obligation that we give to the Shomer Chinam. It just feels like the episode of Seinfeld where Jerry is like stuck washing the door. Like you're just like no, like we don't expect this of a Shomer Chinam to like have this level of obligation. Like why do we expect that people are so good? They're like, oh, like please just wash my sheep for a week and I won't pay you. Like that's our level, or that's our baseline, is like no one is ever that good in history.
So one second, Adam. This level that we're talking about is for a Shomer Sachar, I think, right?
I mean, but like in the interpretation of Abaye, in which like you're saying the baseline is Shomer Chinam, the whole Gemara is talking about Shomer Chinam. Like that's just
the baseline of a Shomer Sachar would be what the Shomer Chinam
right
is held to, right?
Exactly.
And you're saying that's problematic because it's too low of a standard for a Shomer Sachar.
I'm saying that's a very high standard for Shomer Chinam.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what it is. It's just to avoid Shia, right? I don't think the Shomer Chinam could have tainas. He volunteered, right? No one forced him to take on these responsibilities.
But we do see say the things that we do expect of a Shomer Chinam. If he does not hold that level of Shmira, you would say he would be liable. You would say that's Shia. If he does go in at the time he wasn't supposed to go in, you'd say that's Shia.
Right. And you're saying that's not fair because like the...
I mean, that's just a very... that's hard to accept. It's hard to accept that that's really what's going on because that just sounds too out there.
Well, also, I'm okay. It, like, don't volunteer. Don't volunteer to take on...
But it's like the Pesukim themselves. Like the Pesukim, when it establishes who's the Shomer Chinam, it's not talking about washing animals. Washing animals is the Shomer Sachar. Shomer Chinam is just watching, like, here's a pen. Please watch it for me.
You know, it's like when you're negligent and, you know, that's like you acted like as a tortfeasor, you know?
I don't know. It's just hard to buy. But also, how would you go about reading? And I don't know if you, nothing really fully discussed, but just the last bit of the Gemara. Where yeah. Like the guy's the title, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, no one could do this. Like, your sister's children can't do this.
Yeah, and good. We're going to get to that.
People say this, but like, there's something you can do about it.
Like, yeah, we'll get to, we're going to talk about that case. Yeah, like what's going on there? I think that case is really interesting for our discussion. So
I think he's interested into everything. I think just, I don't know, it feels very problematic. It makes a lot of this sound problematic in terms of just like, oh, just it really seems like it's along like Gabe's point. It's like really seems just like a crisis. It doesn't matter what you could possibly do. It's a crisis. You've taken on a crisis by being a Shomer Sachar.
Okay. Yeah, I think definitely if you're a Notre Kid and Notre entry person, you know, the Meiri's view is eminently reasonable, right? Because it's a very clear standard, it's very easy to abide by, right? Just do what most people do. Industry standard is also pretty reasonable, right? Like Rabba's position is pretty reasonable all around. The question is Abaye being too stringent on the Shomer Sachar, right? Is it asking too much that he prevents do any tachbula that you could do to prevent like the reasonable onsen, right? Even if it's way above the industry norm. That's like your...
Right. Actually, I'm surprised that no one's attempted, like when Abaye's opinion is introduced, it says he's of the opinion, or there are those who are of the opinion that when like you give the money, it's almanas that you have a higher standard.
Yeah, hold on. We're about to see that. We're together in a second. I just think my point here is in the Ravid, the question of the Ravid seems to assume that there can't be a standard of Shmira distinct from the industry norm of Shomrei Sachar. And then the answer, I'm not sure if the answer is saying in a Hanami, that's true. And the Ukimta of the Gemara's case is just a case where Shomer Chinam have a custom. So he preserves this assumption that the Shomer Sachar standard can't be different from the industry norm. Like the Torah standard for Shomer Sachar can't be different from the industry norm of Shomer Sachar. Or if he's rejecting that premise and saying, let's assume that most Roim, even paid Roim, their custom is to be all but in the alien chi. Still, while it's permissible for a Shomer Chinam, his Shia is defined by industry norms, but a Shomer Sachar, Torah Shomer Sachar, ought not, you know, listen to industry norms. Like he has a higher duty because the Torah is Mechayivim for Gneva Aveda, which is, you know, a standard above, or just a standard distinct from whatever the industry and society is.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Noah, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I was sort of responding earlier to Gabe's point about the, that he doesn't, he's not considered a poshea, but he's, even though he's kind of like expected to do this kind of this shmira, Rashi has like a similar formulation laid in the Gemara about l'hachi havivach agra, and says the same thing. Z and I talked about it a little bit. I think like you could read it this way. I think another way of reading it is sort of like that pshia is a term that pshia means like not doing the basic level of shmira that everybody is expected to do. I don't know if that's like necessarily the same as the Balabatish, like super negligent. Or if it just, or, you know, maybe we could, maybe it just, or maybe I'm like splitting hairs, or if there's like, you know, or if really the Shomer Sachar in these terms is seen as like, you know, a Shomer, a basic Shomer with certain other obligations.
Right. Let's see.
Like he's chayiv in the kidinatri inche, and he's also chayiv in nitirsi sersa. And the kidinatri inche is considered pshia if he doesn't follow that. There's no sliding scale of negligence. Like there's just one definition of pshia,
which kidinatri inche.
Yeah.
Right, but still, his duty, right? Like what's the shomer's duty? I think we should hold off till we talk about the shita of l'hachi yavach agri seira. But I think Noah, you would concede that for Abaye and for these other Amoraim, the Shomer Sachar's duty is to be Shomer for Chiyuv Gneva Veda, right? Which is a higher standard than the Shmir of the industry standard of Shomrim, Natri, Natri, and Chi. So the breach of duty is for that level, Gneva Veda, but you're only considered Posheya or Pshia if you breach the standard of Natri, Natri, and Chi.
Right, the standard that a Shomer Chinam is expected to do.
Right, but that means that Pshia is defined by some measure. It's not just defined as your breach of duty, right? It's defined by some, albeit variable, standard, but it's a standard distinct from the duty that the Shomer has.
Yeah, I don't know. I know this is it's a very sensitive topic, but I wonder if you could say it's like, you know, it's just defined as like the Shomer Chinam's obligation.
Shia.
Yeah. In other words, there's no, it's just, you know, you're Poshea if you act in a way that's even like less than the most basic Shomer is expected to act.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's very possible. I mean, the Ravid seems to be assuming that when he says that a Shomer Chinam is excused when he acts kidinatri inchi, right? So the rabbi is pretty explicit that for Shomer Chinam standard, this is totally kosher, right? He's just not sure, or at least the two different readings here would differ on whether that's also kosher as the Shomer Sachar standard. Yeah. Anybody have thoughts though on the two readings of the rabbi? Did everybody see both readings? Anybody have issues? Anybody think that there's a reason to read it? Just curious, how many of you think the right way to read it is the first way? That he sticks with the Havamina, that there can't be a standard of Chiyuv Shmira distinct from the Minhag of Shomrei Sachar? And how many of you think that that's Gufa what he's rejecting in the second half? Anybody have thoughts on this? It's a really crucial question. Yeah, Kira, do you have thoughts on this?
No, not sure.
You think it could go either way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Recently in the chat. Zolt, you're the second. You think he's rejecting the first premise?
Yeah, I think he's arguing that Abai is critiquing the standard of Shomer Sachar, that they should do
meaning,
better.
Meaning that lo haya lahan lasos kain. Like a Shomer Sachar ought not like just rely on what the form is.
Yeah, like the whole
even,
industry.
Even if it's what Shomer Sachar are doing.
Yeah, the whole industry is doing it wrong.
How do we know about the mother?
Yeah, he's condemning the industry. Everyone's second. Adam's in the second. Zachary's in the second. Any defenders of the first? Anybody here?
I think my Ephraim's reading can defend the first.
Your Ephraim's reading is on the first because you're saying it doesn't make sense that he could have a Chi of Shmira separate from the expectations of the industry. Yeah.
Wait, can you elaborate on that? Because I really thought your Ephraim's reading was with the second.
Meaning we're dividing between the duties and the liabilities. So his duty, the duty of Shomer Sachar is Kidinatri Inche, which extends up until sort of whatever the standard of care is. But that doesn't mean that his liabilities can extend beyond that into this world of Gneva Veda things, which are not.
Interesting. Okay. I thought you were saying, like, along the lines of the second read that, yeah, people shouldn't be doing this because they're still going to be liable. They should be doing whatever they can to prevent themselves from being liable under this new scheme.
Well, I think that's sort of, that's a true statement given what I just said.
Right.
But we're just going to categorize these things differently. It's no longer going to, Shia will only extend through whatever standard of care is, and anything beyond that is no longer, Shia, it's no longer a non-fulfillment duty.
Yeah, see, the thing that's, I agree that, like, the reading here, I feel the Rov HaRoim in Hagam Lasos Kain sounds like the second reading, right? Because that seems to concede that the minhag of, like, even the Shomrei Sachar Roim are going to get Golan during their lunch break. The thing that puzzles me is, like, just the force of the question just seems so weak, if that's like Gufo, what he's just walking away from. Like he should have phrased his answer a little differently to show that he's walking away from, like he's just changing the fact. And Derech Haroim Lishen Bayom for Behemos Roos Al Yedein Lamalo Yezeh Pater My Tema Yigafa. Like the question here just like seems so committed to the view, like how could you have liability distinct from the standard? How could he be have obligations distinct from the standards? And then his answer is just like, oh, Shomer Sachar like ought not, you know, abide by the standards. He ought to hold himself to a higher degree of Shmira. Right? That's the, all right. Yeah, Kir, you're still on the fence or you the needle has moved a little bit?
Isn't that a pretty big chiddush though, his conclusion? Isn't that like the whole point? And then like his original assumption and the question was that there should be one standard of Shmira. And then his conclusion is that like, no, we really are making a big difference between a Shomer Sachar and a Shomer Chinam. And a Shomer Sachar standard is should be higher no matter what. That's the bias art and bias arguing.
Yeah. It's interesting. I hear you. Yeah, Kier, you're, where are you?
I'm still not willing to commit one way or the other.
Okay, phew. Here's a holdout here. Good. So at least now, like not everyone's on the second reading side. Okay, I want to go back to the Gemara. Adam, you have a hand. Let's take your hand, then we're going to go back to our friend the Gemara here.
Yeah, just like a quick, but like sort of point that's sort of off of it, but like a possible, not really a third read, but it's like another idea based on it, is perhaps this is the idea, there's a certain level of, you know, showman that you have to do of watchfulness you have to have in order to actually get the payment as a Shomer Sachar. Otherwise, you didn't even do that obligation whatsoever. But within that, there's this understanding that yes, it's assumed that Roiso and do take naps throughout the day at certain times, and that's expected. And the whole
hashtag burn security guards.
Right. And the whole perspective of the Baal Bias is that I'm paying you because, look, I'll be more than, like, if I'd rather have these animals than have the money to buy more animals of the sort. I'd rather keep these ones I currently have. So I'm paying you so that I can keep the animals to this extent. So I have this anticipation that, yes, there's still going to be a risk of hiring you to do it, even though I'm paying you for it, because you're going to do whatever the rest of the guys do. You're going to take naps throughout the day. But the fundamental idea is I expect that, okay, there are certain circumstances in which you will be lackadaisical and I will lose my, I will lose my soul and you will have to pay for them. Like, that's
yeah. Yeah, it's built into the expectations of the agreement.
Right.
Well, we're going to see that. Let's see that in the next view of the Marayim. So, Evan, take us back here to the Abaye's further challenges to Rava, Eisvei.
So, Eisvei, Elohim onsin she shomer sachar patar lehen, kikon v'tapo shava v'ti kachim etan.
I think it's Vatikol Shiva Vatikem Vasanarim Hikol Ficharev.
Yeah.
In
the Sabians.
Job 1.
Yeah.
Right. It's talking about like all these bad things that happened to Eov's children. And like these conquerors came and took pilfered the town. Right. So the Brisa seems to suggest what?
That's the standard for Ones.
Exactly, which sounds like to borrow that Rambam phrase, like ein tachbula like limona. You know, it's like you could have done, like you could have a whole armory in your house, but like when the Nazis invade Poland, that's not going to help you. You know, so it's like there's really no reasonable precaution that you could have taken, which would have prevented the ones from occurring. So basically, Abai is saying that you see the Torah standard of ones has nothing to do with an industry norm. It has to do with like, could you have prevented it, right? Now, I want to make a parenthetical remark. Law and economics people get very upset by these things. Where's Gabe? These are Gabe's friends and Adam's friends. Gabe and Adam's friends. They say that like, well, what is this? Like, what would a statement like this even mean? But if you have infinite resources, then, anything is preventable, right? I mean, so it's all going to be relative to some standard of reasonability, reasonableness, and resources available to you. But I think that's okay, right? You have to have some qualification like that in mind. But like the controlling rule is there's no reasonable step that you could have taken to prevent it. even if that's like, even if like that's totally, even if like the industry norm is that, so like, even if it deviates, like the industry norm is not to care about it at all, but there are reasonable steps that you could have taken to prevent the onus. Like that's where the nafkamina comes out. Right, so Evan, go ahead. So Abaya's objection is like, no, there's an objective standard of onus, i.e. the conquering army comes and there's nothing that you could have done to stop them. So Rabba has an answer to this too, right? He's full of answers today.
So Amarle Hatam Bechazni Masa. So that's referring to like the watchmen of the city, like the city guards.
Yeah, so here's the question. What's the deal? Why are city guards different? So Rashi here says something interesting. What does this mean?
So Shomer Ha'ir Belaila, so they watch the city. Everyone in the city relies on them to guard their stuff and themselves. They certainly have a greater level of shmira required.
Yeah, this Rashi formulation just drives me crazy. What's Rashi trying to say? Right? What's Rabba's answer? Why are the Chazanei Masa held to a higher standard? So Rashi here, I just think, really confuses things by using the phrase that the Gemara uses for like Nitirusa Yisera versus Natri Kinatri Inchi. I don't think he should have done that unless he means something intentional by that. Nitirusa Yisera seems to have like a technical meaning later on in the Gemara. And here it just sounds like Rashi is using the non-technical meaning to say, oh, they're held to a higher standard because the industry norm for Chazanei Masa is to like do whatever they can do to protect the city.
Maybe we should hear what you think the technical meaning later in the Gemara is, because I think that's a feasible read of what it means later in the Gemara also.
Okay. I think later on in the Gemara, it says, I'm paying you so that you could exercise the best shmira, regardless of what the industry standard is. Once I'm paying you cash, like you have a duty to like do whatever you can do to prevent reasonable onsen. Here, let's take Rabba's principle. Is Rashi saying that this is a break from Rabba's principle? So I think this is an open question. Rabba's principle usually is a shomer sachar is held to natri kedenatri inchi. Like, what's the standard, let's say, in the industry? So is the point here that the Chazanei Masa industry, given these facts of kol smach anche irulayim, so like, yeah, you're the National Guard, you're held to like, you should be doing everything you can do to prevent an invasion, right? Which is just a way of saying that the industry had like natri kedenatri inchi for that industry is higher than it is in other industries. That's one way of understanding Rabba's answer. That I think is the cleanest way to understand Rabba. The other way of saying this, which I'm not sure is so coherent, is to say like, oh, no. Like in the same way that later on in the Gemara, like payment is like meant to be like some contractual stipulation that you're going to exercise the best kind of shmira possible. Here too, granted that most guardsmen are lazy and like don't actually do a good job watching, like here, like you should know that because we're all relying on you. So like the expectation is that you're going to prevent all onsen, right? Even when that deviates from the industry standards. You see that, Yak, here? That's like the... So like what is the exception for Rabba in this case?
So yeah. I'm still not sure I'm getting the exact difference you're trying to go for between those two readings. You're asking if this is just if this is an expectation regardless of the industry standard or if it's an industry standard?
Exactly.
Okay.
See, Rabba until now was working with a principle of industry standard. So is the Chazanei Masa principle consistent with the industry standard rule? Or is Rabba conceding that whenever there's like a contractual expectation to the contrary, to deviate from the industry standard, that gives us reason to deviate from it. And I just think this statement here in Rashi is a little is not clear on that. So like, is Rashi saying that, yeah, Shomrei Ha'ir, like, of course, like the industry standard here is that they're gonna do Nitzuy Seir. Everybody knows that's what the National Guard's about. Or is Rashi saying that there's like a contractual provision to set a higher standard? You see that, Yakir? Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, either way, it ends up being just a question of like what the expectation is when he takes on the Shmira. Like, it's just a question of is this the expectation because it's the industry standard, or is this in this industry, or is this the expectation because regardless of the fact that it's not the industry standard?
Well, you're assuming that the significance of industry standard is just for setting expectations, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rashi seems to be talking about expectations. Kol smach anshei yir aleihem.
Not like saying, because like this is what they were hired to do, you're saying.
That's what it sounds like to me.
All right, let's hear from Gabe. Gabe, you have a hand on this?
I retract my hand. I'm not sure. I was going to suggest that there are two ways for Rashi to arrive at Bo Nitiruta Yiterata. One is expectation-based, and one is Chiyuv-based. But I'm having trouble like making that more precise. But I think, following Yakir, I think sort of here Rashi's focus on the smichut anshei ha'ir. This is a question of expectations. When we use in Tirsirasa, we're going to say like, no, just weeks. The mechayev of schar of shomer sachar is like max shmira that's possible, which isn't linked to expectations. It's just the maximalist duty of shmira.
But this is within Rabba, right? This is within Rabba, who generally thinks that natri kidinatri inchi is sufficient.
Right, exactly. So that's why here we're in the world of expectations, whereas when we'll use Nitiruta Yiterata later on, we'll just mean like whatever 100% of Shmira is, whatever the highest level of duty is, that's what we're going to be in Chayav
Shomer. Got it. You see, the way I understand this Rashi is that if Rashi here is just talking about the expectation, then his use of Nitiruta Yiterata could be precise in borrowing the Gemara's phrase later on, if you assume that that's also an expectation issue, right? But Gabe, you're pointing out that that's not so clear either. Okay, so that's the Gemara.
I wonder if you also have to determine who the Inche, like, are. Like, you've been assuming this whole time that it's the industry standard. Like, I didn't work it out, but what would the alternate, like, there were alternatives that we were considering before, and what would the alternatives here be?
I mean, like, if it's just like people b'shelahem, like the volunteer, like the when you
ask. Yeah, I don't even know what b'shelahem would mean. I don't know, your own house, homeowners.
Either that, or it could be like like in Alon Shvut, you know, you do your volunteer shmira, right? So when you do your volunteer shmira, like what standard do you hold yourself to? That's the standard for like the chayilim around the Yishuv, right? I think that would be the equivalent. So like, yeah, we all know like the kol guy who does shmira at the booth is like listening to like some chazar shir like while he's there, and you know, barely paying attention to who's driving in and out of the Yishuv, right? So the question is like, are the chayalim held to like a higher standard because they're paid or not? I think that would be the translation. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara goes on here. Gabe, you have a hand? Is that an old hand? Old hand, okay. Okay, similar idea, blah, blah, blah. We don't have to get into this Tosaf B'Shiasaf bonus thing because we're going to talk about that separately. So now, Evan, tell us about Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna, who object to Rabba's standard.
So Rav Chista, Rav Bar Rav Huna, lo svira hu hada Rabba, dimri, Lahaki yavi lach agra l'niture li nitirata yaseira. Their objection is,
the reason I paid you is for you to do a better standard than just like the general standard.
That's right. Now I just want to say this is very hard to understand, at least in my view. It depends on what the Gemara is trying to do here, but if Rabba is not their kidinatri and she is referring to other Shomrei Sachar, this argument is a little more difficult to swallow, right? Like, what does that mean? I'm paying you to do a better job. Like, everybody who gets paid does this type of job, right? So like, if everybody who gets paid does like a B quality work, it's kind of strange that you could argue and say like, no, I'm paying you to do A quality work. And so I just want to, at least prima facie, this part of the Gemara, I think, makes it seem like the earlier part of the Gemara of Natra Kedinatri Inchi is non-specialized, like non-paid Shomrei Sachar. It's not a foolproof argument, because I think you could say, like, this isn't meant as a contrastive argument, like, I pay you to do a better job. It's more like, look, once I'm paying, kind of like Gabe said a minute ago, once I'm paying you, like, your duty is to do, like, the best job or something like that, right? It's like, l'hachi yabi l'cha agra, not in contrast to the people who do it for free, but it's something about, like, the duty that you owe me as like someone who's paying you to do like the best job you can do. Does everybody see that? That's kind of the two ways of reading this line. Evan, what do you think? Which way do you?
I think the former, the first way, which is sort of as like a disproof to the previous Inchi being like just the Shomrim, but also, is there like some like contrast between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar that's happening in that line? It's like, oh, I'm paying you to be, you know, I don't know, to like, now you're a Shomer Sachar instead of a Shomer Chinam. And so your standard for Shmira is going to be higher. I don't know.
Yeah. That's more of like the other way of going here, right? Saying that like, there's something about you being paid that just like triggers like some higher standard of Shmira, not like in contrast per se to like random people, to the, you know, Masha Osim Anashim B'Shelahem. Anybody have a thought on this, on which is the right way to go here? Like, what's the underlying argument of L'Hachi Yavi L'Cha Agra Yaseira?
Sorry, could you repeat
The first one is to say like, look, there's gotta be some difference between somebody who's paid and somebody who's not paid. So it's like, why in the world am I paying you? Obviously, that you should be that your standard should be different from the guy who's not paid. That's like one way of reading it. So the point of the Gemara then is to say, Natri Inchi, the unpaid people, can't be the standard for Shomer Sachars. Get at that, Yakir? The other way of reading it is to say, like, there's just something about like, you were hired, right? You're like hired and you're a paid worker. And like, when you're being paid, you're just held to like the highest standard possible. Kind of like Gabe said, you know, it's like, we pay workers for excellence, you know? So you're like, I don't care what like the industry standard is. I don't care that everybody in your profession is lazy. I, as an employer, have like this right to say like, I pay you, you provide excellent work for me. Yakir, does that help? Or?
Yeah, I think that helps.
Okay. Any thoughts on this in the Gemara, which is the right way to go? Very tricky shock of Atarya.
Can you quickly say that one more time, as I was not here?
Wait, Gabe wrote that he's noted to Gabe's reading. What does that mean, your notes at a Gabe's reading?
Yeah, I like the reading that you quoted in, or that you associated with my take.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. That's right. So, one reading here is to say, as Gabe says, is the Gabe reading, which is like, you know, people think this way. They say, like, oh, you're an employee or you're paid. Once you're paid, like, you're supposed to give it your all, right? Chayev apoel lavod b'chol gufo or whatever, b'chol kocho. And so it's like an objective standard, in which case the Gemara is not taking a stand on Inchi being anoshim b'shelahem or shomer chinams. The Gemara's point is just like, it's about the ethic of being a paid worker. Like an employer by paying you has the right to demand like sterling excellence. And that's this idea of like, l'hachi yavi l'cha agra, like l'hachi yavi l'cha agra, then t'rili n'tivusi yaserso. The other way of reading it is to say that the Gemara is just making this logical argument that it's inconceivable, or it's inconceivable that the Shomer Sachar standard would be the same as Anashim Bishalahem or Shomer Chinams, because it's intuitive that a paid person ought to be held to a higher standard than, you know, how people treat their own money. Right, so everybody? That would be the second way of reading this Gemara. The Nafkamina is whether you think the Gemara here is taking a clear-cut stand. Yeah. The Nafkamina is the Gemara, is the Gemara taking a stand on what Rabba's position was? Right? Was Rabba's position just that the Shomer Sachar standard is tethered to Anashim B'Shelahem, like the Meiri? Or is Rabba's position also, could it be about the standard? Would it be, could Rabba's position still be about the standard of Shomer Sachar's? In which case, these Amorayim are saying, no, like a Shomer Sachar standard doesn't matter what the industry norm is. Just something about him being paid that bumps him up to like the highest responsibility to prevent onsen, to prevent anything up to like a real onus that's unpreventable. All right?
Just further strengthen my point. I think the way we read my Havelei Lemavad is very relevant here. As in the reading that it's like...
Yes.
As long as there's something else the Shomer could have done, right, that is his responsibility. The Shomer's responsibility is to do everything within his power, right? That's not about industry standards, but just about like sort of max expectations of your Shomer Sachar.
Yeah, really good point. So let's actually, could we spend just three more minutes talking about that last Gemara, and then we'll, just if we get this in, and we could come back just and synthesize it all next week. Okay, so Evan, take us through that last case and the last Mai Havel of Mevek. So I think this discussion here is really important. Bar Ada Sabula.
Right, so Bar Ada Sabula Havikai Ma'aver Fyuta Agmo Dinarash Tekhafakata Lekhavrta Vishad Ibn Maya. So Rav Ada was getting some cattle over a bridge, and
he gave the guy smicha. We have no idea whether, you know.
Bar Ada was transporting animals across a bridge over this river, and one of them pushed the other one off, and it fell into the water and died.
Good. That makes sense. The other good.
Yeah. So Ada kamei of papa chayve, says he's chayve. Amarle my have lamavid. Like what should I have done?
Yes.
Amarle.
Now by Amarle, the way, based off his next statement, it sounds like that's a way of saying like I abided by the industry standard. Right? Like
right.
What this is what I would have done. Yeah, go ahead. Amarle.
So Amarle, Abayla le avure chada chada. You should have taken them one by one. So that wasn't apparently the one by one would have been the smarter move, because then they wouldn't have, one couldn't have knocked off the other.
Well, so we don't know smarter. We don't know smarter, but like it would have,
or like
prevented.
It would have stopped that. Or prevented that. Yeah. So I'm like, yadata be bava achitcha demati demaavar chada chada. Pretty much, do you know anyone who does it one by one?
Exactly. So he's saying like nobody goes one by one. Right.
So,
and Rav Papa basically says like I don't care, right? That doesn't matter. By Zachariah. Rav Papa basically says I don't care, which is kind of surprising, if you think that the industry, like if it means that mamish nobody does this, then it's surprising that Rapapa doesn't take that into consideration. Right? Meaning,
right.
Say all Shomrei Sachar, no Shomrei Sachar goes one by one. Right? They all kind of do this mass herding over the bridge. Isn't it surprising that Rabba, isn't it surprising that Rapapa is indifferent to that?
Right.
So, this Gemara seems to show, like Gabe said, that the industry norm is totally irrelevant, right? Like once you're shown, like when the Gemara says, I'm giving you a Tirusa, I'm giving you Lahachi Yavucha Agra and a truly Tirusi Yatsersa, that's like separate and apart from any industry norm that's out there, right? So even if nobody does this thing, nobody goes Chada Chada, still you as a Shomer Sachar are going to be responsible if there was a way to prevent it. Now, so Gabe, that's the point you were making, right? Good. So, like, does the industry norm help you here? I just want to point out, and we'll come back to discuss this next week. When the Meiri quotes this case, he says, "Ba ma'aslof nechachamim." They said he's chayev because he should have been mavir achas. V'davar zeh in derech bnei adam la'asos b'shela hen kein. So again, he says people don't do it on their own stuff. So the Meiri reads this as. It's very possible that the industry standard for Shomrei Sachar is to do Chada Chada, which is like a total rereading of the Gemara, at least in my view, right? And then he says, "Umikamakam after Shazad Davar Matsui, Umisheno Sabishalo Posheba Atzmo." He's saying like, "Oh well, you know, maybe some people do Chada Chada. It's just like not what people do with their own stuff." Right, it's got to be matzah. It is found in some cases. So the Meiri is like a little uncomfortable here with holding somebody liable when it deviates from the norm in the industry, from the standard of the industry. Although I think Gabe is right that the Pashat reading of the Gemara seems to say like, you don't know anybody in the world who does Chada Chada. But yet as a Shomer Sachar, you ought to have been held to a higher standard. Right, Gabe? Yeah. Okay, good. So let's stop here. Great job, Evan. Thanks for taking us through the Gemara. Let's try to nail down some of these discussions on Nitirusi Yasera, Kidanatri Inchi on Tuesday, and then also start looking at the Gemaras about the Stira to Membez, about like, is a Shomer supposed to be watching all the time? Could he just lock it up in a box? This generates like a lot of interesting discussion about when are you a Shomer, like Onas Haguf, does that change things? But first I want to spend a little more time nailing down this issue of Nitirusa Yesera Natri Inchi. Let me also mention, there's a fascinating discussion that I added to the source sheet, a tshuva the Marshach, and a tshuva, and a comment of the Chassam Sofer, where they have this really cool argument that maybe Nitirusa Yesera wouldn't apply to a socher, or to somebody who's a Shomer Sachar for like technical reasons, like a Shomer Aveda, or a Mashkon holder, because they're pater from Pruta Dravyosi. So they're not really paid. Does the argument of Lahachi Yavi Lecha Agra apply to those kinds of Shomrei Sachar? And that's just like a really cool, they say no. And that's really cool because then that breaks up the, like Shomer Sachar is a composite category. There are different types of Shomrei Sachar who are held to different standards, which I think is really interesting views. That's on the Makor sheet. Shkoyach everyone, good Nechodesh. Adam, thanks for the good Nechodesh reminder. Mishnechas Adam, Marvin Besimcha. And we'll pick up next week. Shkoyach, everyone. Take care.
Good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.